I want to share some things with you. You know, we've been on a series. We're going to pray in a moment, believe God that He's going to help us with this. But we've been on a series of The Lord My Healer. We're going to pause that series today because I really felt to talk to you about another area today. You know, tomorrow is Labor Day, this Labor Day weekend. I want to talk to you about some of the things the Bible has to say about this theme, if you will, called work. How many of you know? Everybody say work. I can tell that, you know, you might not get overly excited about this subject, but when we see it from the Bible, let's just see if I can get this up and see if there's any problems with this. Are we bringing it up here? Maybe, maybe not. Let me just make sure this is all right. And so we're going to talk about the blessing of work. Some of you already don't believe my message because you haven't heard it yet, but we're going to talk about the blessing of work because really God has ordained that work be a blessing. He desires that our work be a blessing, not only to us, but also to others that we work for. Aren't you glad that people work for you, that people do things that we need them to do in order for us to accomplish what we need to accomplish as well? Can you say amen to that? And so again, work is meant for us who are believers. It is meant to be a blessing. It's meant to be a blessing in our lives. And so I'm just about there. And so bear with me just for a moment here, and we're going to have this coming up. Here it comes. Everybody is praise God. Praise God. Amen. So we're going to talk, as I said, here it is, the blessing of work. Let's pray. I can tell we need to pray over this message today. Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise today. I pray, Father God, that you would give to each and every one of us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you and open up the eyes of our understanding to your word. I pray, Father God, that everything that you desire to be said is going to be said. And Father God, people are going to be blessed, encouraged, and just lifted up concerning their work and your plan for their lives. Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to start off with this message, giving you a few quotes that I think are really powerful quotes. And the first one is from a man who was a pastor. And he said this: we meet God, the creator, as a worker in Genesis 1:1-2, all the way through chapter 2. And then God, being a worker, endows all legitimate work with an intrinsic dignity. The way we work will reveal how much we have allowed the image of God to develop in us. There is immense dignity in work and in being workers. I think a lot of times in our society, our culture, we don't think about this very much, but there is a certain amount of dignity and a certain amount of honor that goes along with whatever work God has for us. Now, some of you might be thinking, yeah, but I have a menial job. You might be thinking that, but you know what? When you look at it in terms of from God's point of view, there is no menial job. There is no menial work. If you're serving others in a legitimate way, if you're serving others and ministering to others, no matter what it might be, you might be a worker in a restaurant, you might be a plumber, electrician, you might be a doctor or whatever. I'll tell you, you know, in the day that we're living, you know, if I've got plumbing problems, I don't need a doctor, I need a plumber. Amen. If I'm hungry, I need somebody to wait the tables. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so again, every legitimate career or every legitimate job, we need to look at it differently perhaps than what we have in the past, because there is a dignity. And in this particular quote, we see that God is the original worker, isn't he? And how many of you know he's working in you? Do you believe he's working in you today? Amen. And another quote that I thought was really good, A.W. Tozier said this. He was a pastor, an evangelist, has some great writings out there. He's in heaven now. He wrote this: let every man abide in the calling wherein he is called, and his work will be as sacred as the work of the ministry. It is not what a man does that determines whether his work is sacred or secular. It is why he does it. And think about what he's saying in that. You know, a lot of times people think, well, I'm working for the Lord if I'm a minister or, you know, a missionary or whatever the case may be. But what he is saying is very true, that whether or not what we're doing as work is secular or sacred, he uses the word sacred to denote, you know, Christian ministry. But whether or not we are working in a job that is sacred or secular is a matter of how we're thinking about it. Why we do it is what he is saying. And, you know, I know that, you know, years ago, you know, well, let me put it this way. You know, whatever you're doing for a job, how many of you know, when you get up in the morning or maybe you work nights, whenever you get up to get ready and then go to work, you need to think of it not just about, you know, I'm going to earn a living or I'm going to make a paycheck or whatever. No, you are now going forth into a mission field that God has for you. If we would look at every job we have as a potential mission field, that we're letting our light shine in a dark place. I remember reading a story, quite some time ago about a person that came up for prayer for some, from a minister, and they said, "Well, I just need a new job." And he said, the minister said to him, "Why do you need a new job?" And they said, "Well, I'm the only Christian there." And the minister said to him, and I think this is a valid thing, he said, "Well, I'm not going to pray that you have a new job. You're the only light shining in that place. You're the only witness, a potential witness that they have if you're the only Christian there. Just because you're the only Christian doesn't mean that God hasn't called you in that place to be what God wants you to be. Are you doing this? Are you doing okay with this?" Amen. And so again, remember, there's a dignity and there's a purpose and a plan. The Bible talks about we as believers, we're like pilgrims or, travelers through this land, through this earth, if you will. Our citizenship is in heaven. We have a citizenship in heaven. Yes, we're citizens of our nation, but we're more so a citizen of heaven. And so we're here as ambassadors for Christ. No matter what our career, no matter what we're doing, we are ambassadors for Christ. And I think it's so important that we think of it that way. Is everybody all right? Amen. Think of it that way. Whether it's secular or whether it's sacred, as Tozer puts it, it's a matter of why am I here? Why am I here? And over the years, I've had a lot of different jobs. And many years ago, these are ones that really come to mind more. Many years ago, I worked in a bakery, a grocery store bakery, and I loved doing it, really. I was the donut guy. I made the donuts. And so, I would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, be there at 3 o'clock in the morning, make the donuts. And, the thing I really liked about it was I was done at 11 o'clock in the morning. That was a great job. Amen? You're done at 11 o'clock in the morning. But, during that time, I was able to let my light shine. I was able to share with people, not when I was supposed to be working, but in opportunities when I wasn't necessarily having to work during breaks or whatever, I would be able to share. People would ask questions. They'd ask me questions. How many of you know that's a great way to start a conversation? People asking you questions. And I was able to lead one young lady. I was 21 or so. She about 19. I led her to the Lord. And to this day, we're in contact. She's married, lives in Georgia, and she's on fire for Jesus. And at that time, she's just a wild 18-year-old girl. You understand? But thank God, Jesus changes people's lives. And no matter where you're working, you can have an effect in people's lives. In that same job, there was another opportunity. And again, it was during a break time or whatever. There's an older lady there. She was a Catholic lady. And she was just hungry for the things of God. It turns out she'd already accepted Jesus. But I was able, during a break time, to share with her from the Word of God. And again, I'm only 21, 22 years old. That was just a couple of years ago. To share with her about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And by golly, in that bakery, in that grocery store, that older woman, she was baptized in the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues right there and then. Hallelujah. Amen. And I just read the last few years, she went home to heaven and she's rejoicing in Christ. Amen. And so whether our job is secular or sacred, it all depends on our mission. It all depends on our outlook on that job. Amen. Amen. Another great quote is this one, in referencing Nehemiah 4:6 and the attitude of the people who had a mind to work in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Tony Cook points this out in his book. He's got a book called The Workbook, and he said this: today, many people have a mind to be blessed, a mind to receive from God, a mind to be encouraged, and a mind to feel good about themselves. But how many have a mind to work? A lot of truth to that, isn't that right? Amen. And so a lot has to do with our attitude, the way we look at work, the way our mindset is about the work that we do, no matter what it is. And God created the principle of working. A lot of things we'll say about this today in the little bit of time that we have. Adam was commanded to dress and to keep the garden, wasn't he? In Genesis 2 and verse 15, to keep it meant he was to keep guard over it. Now, granted, he didn't do a real good job keeping guard over that garden, did he? But he was commanded to dress it, to take care of the garden. He was given a job. It's interesting. He was given a job before he was given a wife. I just want to encourage all you young ladies out there, before you get married, make sure the boy's got a job. Amen? How many of you think that was worth the price of admission already? Amen. Adam was given a job before he had a wife, praise God. And then also, due to the fall, work became a drudgery instead of a delight. Obviously, they had thorns coming up, it became a work, it became a drudgery as a result of the fall, because when man fell, the earth suffered as well, didn't it? And the harvest of the church suffered, the harvest of the earth suffered as well. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 8, we find that for God's people, work can be a real blessing. It can provide a sense of satisfaction. Christ has redeemed us from everything brought on us when Adam fell, which includes a job that's a curse. And so, one of the things we need to understand is we should not consider work a curse. We should consider work a blessing. And again, your mindset, your attitude makes a big difference, doesn't it? And then Deuteronomy 28:8 actually says this: the Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And so again, he'll bless your hand, the work of your hand again, in all to which you set your hand. There'll be a command of blessing as we place him first place in our lives. Now, God has a specific work for everyone. Now, I'm not saying that the job that you have right now is the job that you always are going to have, but I want you to know, no matter what job you have right now, it could very well be training for a job you're going to have in the future. And you may not even be aware of that. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you might, my wife, for example, years ago, she worked as a legal secretary. She didn't know anything about being a legal secretary, but God opened the door, and she found favor, and she was the first employee in that firm, I think a firm that had been around for 100 years, if I'm not mistaken, first part-time employee that firm ever had. And you know what? What she learned being a legal secretary has been such a great benefit, and was especially when we got the church going as far as becoming a not-for-profit and things like that. But at that point, she never even would have dreamed that what she was experiencing and learning there would ever be a benefit in the future. But you know what? The same thing is true in many of our jobs. In many of our jobs, it is a stepping stone or a training time for what God has in the future. But the point is, God's got a plan. Amen? You may be wondering, what jobs did I have that prepared me for the future? I'm not real sure. I worked as an exterminator. And it has come in handy a few times, because some of you come to me and ask me how to get rid of different critters. But other than that, I'm not sure. But you know what? You do learn. You learn how to get along with people. You learn how to get along with people that are opposite of you and different than you. Are you following what I'm saying? And that would apply practically to any job that you have. There can always be a benefit in terms of learning, and the fact that as you learn and grow, you're getting prepared for something else that God might have for you as well. Does that make sense? All right, so God has a specific work for everyone. God knew Jeremiah before he was born and had a plan for his life ahead of time. Before he ever became a prophet, God had a plan. Part of it was to become a prophet, but there was time for preparation. And one thing just came to my mind, in Acts chapter 13, teachers and prophets were gathered together, believers gathered together at Antioch at that time, and they were praying and they were fasting. And during that time, the Holy Spirit spoke, and the Holy Spirit said this: separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work in which I have called them. And so the Holy Spirit said, separate to me that which I've already called them to. And so it's important for us to understand that between the calling, and when I say calling, again, I'm not just meaning what we think of as ministry per se. I'm talking about calling. Thank God there's people that are called to be doctors, called to be electricians, called to be plumbers. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Called to whatever, because we need all of them as well as anything else, right? But notice that with Paul and Barnabas, it says that they were separated at a certain point for what they had been called to, called in the past, but did not get separated into it until later on. And so, you know what? Don't be discouraged. I remember many years ago when I was in Bible school the first time, where they said this, made it very clear, that between the calling and the separation is preparation. Between the calling and separation to that calling is preparation. And never do you want to despise that time of preparation. Amen? And then also David was aware of the Lord having a plan for his life before he was born. I want to give this to you from the New Living Translation. And again, I probably won't have you turn to any scriptures, but I'm giving you a lot of scriptures. I encourage you to take a picture of them. I encourage you to look them up. I encourage you to underline, to write those down or whatever, and get those into your heart, because the Word of God needs to get into our hearts and into our minds. Amen? Amen. In fact, you know, I know this might sound old-fashioned, but it would be good for people to bring notebooks and a pen with them to church to take notes. See, some do. Amen. All right. It's good to do that. And you say, why? Well, you know, even my daughter, who's 30 years old, you know, thank God she's going back to church now. Even her, she takes notes. And you know why she takes notes? Her main reason is because then she can pay attention better. You follow what I'm saying? And so you know what? If nothing else, you pay attention better when you take notes. I know it might sound old-fashioned, but you know what? Sometimes we need a little old-fashioned. Because in order for it to get into us, sometimes we need to go back to some of the basics. Amen? Like taking notes or what have you. Now notice what it says. Psalm 139, a Psalm of David, verses 13 through 16 from the New Living Translation. It reads this way. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. This is David speaking to the Lord. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. That's in his mother's womb. Going on with that, it says, and as I was woven together in the dark of the womb, period, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life, notice this last sentence, every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Now, you might be thinking, you know, does that mean that everything bad that happened to me, God ordained that ahead of time? No, he's talking about the perfect plan of God. The perfect plan of God doesn't include all the things that you might have went through that was bad. But the point is that God has a perfect plan for every single person. And part of our job, if you will, is to find out little by little, step by step, God, what is your plan? What do you have for me? What's written in your book that is your perfect plan for my life? I don't know about you, but you know, this passage has always encouraged me that God's got a book. I don't know if it's a literal book or whatever. You know, he speaks in human terms so we can understand. But God has a book, if you will. And in that book, all the days of my life, the way he would want my life to go, has been written down before they ever took place. Isn't that an awesome thing? If it was true of David, it's true of you and me as well. Because God doesn't show partiality. He is no respecter of persons. Are you getting anything out of this today? So God has a specific work for everyone. Paul's prayers for the saints clearly indicate that God has a purpose. He prayed the following, for example, Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, that we would not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. God wants us to know what the will of the Lord is, pertaining to work as well. Also, that we might be filled with the knowledge of his will. See, God's not against us knowing what his plan is. Amen? And you know, he's not holding back from us, but sometimes we've got to get on his frequency, you understand. Sometimes there needs to be a little bit of fine-tuning here in our lives so that we get on his frequency, so that we have good reception. The problem when it comes to knowing what God wants, the problem is never the transmission, but the problem is always the reception. Does that make sense? Amen. And so we're responsible to get to a place and position ourselves so that we can receive a good reception of what God has for us. First of all, ask for God to give us guidance. Notice Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So there is the leading of the Spirit of God available to sons and daughters of God. All right, going on with that, we know I share this. I use this a lot. I pray this a lot for myself and for other people. If any of you lacks wisdom, and when we talk about lacking wisdom, in many respects, we're talking about guidance for life, right? And so if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Notice, if you ask, God gives as long as we ask in faith as it goes up. But let him ask in faith. Everybody say faith. And no doubting. Now, remember the song? I believe it. You know, she said it would be easier sometimes to doubt, but I believe it because you have always kept your word. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. And so we ask for wisdom by faith. That means we ask for wisdom with expectancy and trusting that God will give us the wisdom that we need. You say, how do I receive that wisdom? Sometimes it just comes by way of an idea. You know, be careful of those that say God told me or spoke to me. I don't use that phraseology unless I'm really sure, and maybe one time in my whole life. You know, because I think people get, you know, people have said to me, Pastor, God told me, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And my answer to that is, well, who am I to argue with God? It's almost like they use that in order so you don't argue with them. Even if you point out that what they think God said to them is contrary to the scriptures, even if you point that out because they said that and they're adamant, it's like the guy that told another pastor one time, God told me to get a divorce. I want you to know that God's not going to tell you to get a divorce unless you're being abused or something like that. Maybe God will let you do that type of thing. And there is a legitimate time with adultery involved and whatever when someone commits adultery and breaks their marriage vow and whatever. But, you know, again, everything's got to be judged and measured by the Scripture. Measured by the Scripture. The Holy Spirit will never contradict the Scripture because He's the inspirer. He's the one who inspired the Scripture, right? Amen. And so again, we can pray in faith, believe in God. He wants us to have wisdom, praise God. Amen. All right, now accept work, first of all. Some of these principles, biblical principles for being a success at work. Accept work as God's gift, not as God's punishment. Now, I'll tell you, I know that there's a lot of folks, none of you probably, I believe by faith, but there's a lot of folks that do consider going to work as punishment. But it's not punishment. It was never meant to be punishment. Some people think that work is part of the, you know, a result of the fall of man still today. But remember, God gave Adam work before he fell into sin. Right? And so consider it. Again, we go back to attitude again, don't we? Consider it God's gift, not God's punishment. Ecclesiastes 5:19, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. Now, one of the things I do want to mention to you is this, that, you know, I lost my train of thought on that, but it'll come back to me. It always does. Thomas Edison said this, opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. What a strong point. Amen? Amen? And so what do? They miss out on opportunities because they don't want to work. They don't want to. They don't think there ought to be any kind of labor involved with that. But, of course, we've already established the fact that that is not the way God thinks. All right? So first and foremost, think of it as God's gift. Work is God's gift. It is not a punishment. Secondly, recognize that no matter what you're doing, you're working for God. Now, I've said this in so many ways, but let me give you some scripture for that. No matter what you're doing, you're working for God. Notice what Ephesians 6, 5 through 9 says. He says bondservants. Now, he's using words like bondservants and masters, and we don't have that today here. And so we're using bondservants as being like the employee and masters like being the employer because the principles still apply. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters. And really, they were more like indentured servants anyway during this time. Indentured servants, many of them even got paid. And so they worked off debt or whatever by being indentured servants or bondservants. And so bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there's no partiality with him. And so there's some strong statements in this. The main thing I want to emphasize is the fact that it says bondservants of Christ, first of all, we are first and foremost, if we use this term employee instead, you and I are working for him before we're working for our boss. But yet, as we're working for our boss, let's consider it that we're working for Christ. And so we want to do the best we can. We want to be a good worker, the best worker that we can be. In fact, I encourage believers, and I've always attempted to be this way myself when I worked in a secular sacred job. When I did that, I always tried to be the best one and tried to do the best I could because I knew that I represented Christ. Again, going back to the fact we're all ambassadors of Christ, no matter where we are. Amen? And so again, we're working for Him. And if we have that mindset, we have that attitude, notice what the next second highlight is. He will receive the same from the Lord. In other words, there's reward involved if we're working for Him in our attitude and in our mindset. Does that make sense to you? Amen? And then going with that idea, work to serve God and cooperate with His purpose for your life. It says in Matthew 25:21, His Lord said to him, this is what Jesus is saying, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. The Lord's going to say that to us one day, I trust. But then also it applies even today that we are to what? That we're to be faithful over little things so that we can be promoted to bigger things. There's a principle there, isn't there? There's a principle there. Also, another part of this is work to bring glory to God and honor to His name. Therefore, the scripture, 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And so again, as we keep that in perspective, as we keep that in our mindset, no matter what our job is, and you know, I've had some not so good jobs. You know, when I was in Oklahoma, for example, you know, I worked on a landscaping team, a landscaping crew. And let me tell you, you know, 100-degree weather. Thank God I was younger then. But, you know, that was not the best of jobs. You know, you'd come back and, I couldn't even go to the house. I was staying with a family, and the wife of the family wouldn't even let me come into the house afterwards until I changed my clothes in the garage because I was a mess. I was a mess. So I never had, I didn't always have a good job in the natural, but I used it as an opportunity to be an ambassador for Christ. Everybody with me here? And always with the idea for the glory of God, for the glory of God. Notice attitude is such an important thing. This is from John Maxwell. He said this, attitude is the advanced man of our true selves. Its roots are inward, but its fruit is outward. It is our best friend or our worst enemy. How many of you know that's the truth right there? Our attitude can be our best friend if it's a good attitude, or it can be our worst enemy if it's a lousy attitude. It is more honest and more consistent than our words. It is an outward look based on past experience. It is a thing which draws people to us or repels them. It is never content until it is expressed. It is the librarian of our past. It is the speaker of our present. And it is the prophet of our future. You know, when you think about some of that, I heard another or read another statement concerning attitude, and it went something like this. You know, you can teach people skills, you can teach people how to be competent, but one thing that is hard to teach people is how to have a good attitude. Right. And not only that, but you know, bad attitudes can be contagious as well. And so it can affect everybody else around you. And there are people that are employers that, you know, you might be competent, you might be skillful, but if you got a bad attitude, they could fire you anyway because they'd rather have somebody with a good attitude that can be trained with competency than somebody's got a bad attitude. Amen? Attitude makes a difference. Somebody once said, you know, the attitude you have will determine the altitude that you fly, so to speak. Amen. This is better preaching than you are saying. But anyway, biblical principles for being a success at work. Now, we're coming back to this. First of all, I already mentioned to you, accept work as God's gift, not as God's punishment. Secondly, recognize that no matter what you're doing, you're working for the Lord. And this next one is learn everything possible about your work. Learn everything you can. Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. You know, many of you have probably read about Daniel in the book of Daniel and how he and others of Judah were taken as captives to Babylon and became slaves in Babylon. But Daniel rose to the top in so many ways. And it says this about Daniel in chapter 6 and verse 3, New Living Translation. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Now, this is under the idea that he learned everything he could. Now, of course, he threw out anything that was contrary to God because he was a faithful man to God, wasn't he? Another translation, or several other translations, says he was of an excellent spirit, which indicates not only was he had great ability, but he also had an excellent attitude as well. And if you read about Daniel, you'll know he had a great attitude. He had a great attitude, and with that came competency as well. And so he advanced in such a great way. Now, biblical principles for being a success at work, right? Accept work as God's gift, not punishment. Recognize that no matter what you're doing, you're working for God. Learn everything possible about your work. And then also the next one is don't be a time thief. Don't preach to people when you should be working. That's why I tried to emphasize, you know, when I would share, it would be during break times or other times that were not needed for working at that moment, all right? And so we have to be careful of that, because if we're not, we're going to be bad witnesses, aren't we? Right. Amen? And then with that, the most effective witnessing you will ever do on the job is living out your Christianity and working hard and working hard. All right, we're going to move on because of time's sake. But also with this, again, I already mentioned, ask God for wisdom. We know that he will. Here's another scripture about wisdom for you, though. Proverbs 2, 6 through 7. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. Notice, he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. You and I in Christ are righteous or upright. And so he has wisdom stored up for you and me. Again, we need to be expecting that as well. And then going on, to the next one, be honest about your mistakes. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Amen. And, you know, I remember many years ago when I was working as an exterminator, I went to a certain plant. It was a huge facility, and I had to check for mice and rats. Wasn't that a glorious job? That's just a glorious job. I was doing a sir. I always said, even, you know, I was doing this during trying to get the church going and everything. And I often said, you know, during the week I minister death, but on the weekends I minister life. Hallelujah. All right. But anyway, I was going around this facility, you know, and they didn't really have a map or anything for it. And so, you know, I went back to the office where the guy was that I had to report to and everything, and he was mad. He was mad because I had missed some what they call bait stations where the poison is put in. And he was just fuming mad about that. And my response, how many of you know a soft answer turns away wrath, the scripture says? My response to him was, you know what, you're right. I haven't learned my way around here very well. And so, you know, I missed some and I apologize for that. And right away, his countenance changed. He was ready for an argument. He was ready for a fight. But I did what? I was honest about my mistakes. I told him, I'm really sorry. I missed that area because I'm not familiar with the facilities. And so he and I talked it over. We looked at a map of the facility. We got it straightened out. And after that, man, every time I went there, he was like my best friend. So be honest about your mistakes. Be honest about your mistakes and whatever that might look like. Be quick next. Be quick to ask for help and information when you need it. And that, of course, goes along with this, doesn't it? Amen. And then going on, and I'm almost done. Always be willing to help others. Proverbs 3:27, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. You know, this competitive idea with fellow workers is never a good idea. You hearing me? And so again, help the other workers, help the other employees. Don't have that competitive mindset because that can do you in. The next one, and going through these now a little bit quicker maybe, do not spread gossip. See, now if I haven't hit one yet that was really needed by you, I hit one now, didn't I? All right? And so don't spread gossip. Proverbs 17:9, it says this, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. And then also Proverbs 26:22 says the words of a talebearer are his wounds. Right. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about gossip, doesn't it? Yeah. A lot to say about gossip. You know, you can see that, you know, sometimes people think of sin and they think of the so-called big ones like adultery and murder and lying and things like that. But, you know, gossip is just as much a sin. Right. All right, now, I get, you know, there's some sins that affect people more than others, and gossip is a big one, affects people badly. Isn't that right? You can ruin somebody's reputation by gossip and also by bearing false witness. That's a big one today, isn't it? Right. Lying about people, saying things about people that are not true because you heard hearsay. And so you heard hearsay, so you're spreading essentially gossip, aren't you? And you haven't even verified whether it's true. You shouldn't be spreading it anyway, but you don't even know if it's true. You just got hearsay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Amen. Biblical principles for being a success at work. Always attempt to do more than what is expected of you. Matthew 5:41, and whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. That's a principle I know that I've always tried to live by when I worked for others, and even here, I always want to do more than what's expected of me. Because, you know, first of all, that's a godly thing to do, right? But then not only that, but then when you need to do something else, when you need a day off or you need something from your employer that might be out of the ordinary, they are more apt to help you because you have gone the extra mile with them. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, yeah.
Amen? Amen. Let's go on with this. Again, biblical principles for being a success, and this is the last one. Is everybody ready for the last one?
Yeah.
Remember, Jesus is watching you, even if the boss isn't. The Lord sees you in the secret place, doesn't he? Amen. I remember, you know, this last illustration. I remember years ago, again, I was working as an exterminator. I was going around the perimeter of the Golip buildings there in Rotterdam still, I think. I was going around the perimeter checking all these bait stations for mice and rats and things like that. And it occurred to me, you know, it's cold out. I could skip a few of these and nobody would know the difference. That occurred to me. But then in my mind, something else occurred to me. The Lord is watching. The Lord is watching. And so no matter how cold it was, no matter how frigid it was, no matter how much that wind was biting my skin, I looked at every single one of those base stations because, again, I was keeping in mind the Lord is watching. Amen. How many of you think that's an important thing to always keep in mind? Amen. He's watching us. Even if the boss isn't, he's watching us. And so to sum these up again, remember these. Accept work as God's gift, not as God's punishment. Recognize that no matter what you're doing, you're working for God. Learn everything possible about your work. Don't be a time thief. Ask God for wisdom. Be honest about your mistakes. Be quick to ask for help and information when needed. Always be willing to help others. Do not spread gossip. Always attempt to do more than what is expected of you. And remember, Jesus is watching you, even if your boss isn't. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just give you glory and honor. And Father God, I pray for any that are here that are struggling with their work right now, Father God, I pray for them. You know, in fact, why don't we all just bow our heads, just in an attitude of reverence toward God. If you're here today and you know, you're struggling with your job, you're struggling as far as your attitude, you're struggling perhaps as far as, you know, lack of income, not paid enough, or you're struggling, you're thinking, man, I want to quit that job, I want a better job. If you're struggling with that, you know, just between you, me, and the Lord, if you just lift your hand, I want to pray for you right now. Anybody at all? That describes several people. Let's just pray. Let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see those that are struggling. You see those that need something from you, Father God. I pray for them. I pray, Father God, that you would encourage them. I pray, Father God, as they ask for wisdom, that you're going to guide them. You're going to show them. Should they get another job or should they not get another job? Should they ask for a raise or not ask for a raise or whatever it is, Father God? Do they need an attitude adjustment or whatever, Father? I pray that you'd help them in that time of need, Father God, concerning their job, Father God. We believe you for it. We trust you for it. We ask in faith for wisdom for those that are struggling right now with their jobs, Father God, in Jesus' name. We thank and believe you together, Father God. We give you glory for it. Hallelujah. And Father God, for those, if there's those here today, and again, just in a reverential attitude with heads bowed, just an attitude of prayer. If you're here today and you're looking for a job, you're unemployed, would you raise your hand? We're just going to pray between me, you, and God right now. You're unemployed. You need a job. Anybody at all? Looks like everybody's employed that wants to be employed. Hallelujah. And so I pray blessing on them as well. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, if you're here today, the most important thing is, have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? The Bible says we've all sinned, which means we've all broken God's law. And because we've broken the law of God, we deserve punishment. We deserve judgment. But the good news of the gospel is that God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. And he bore the penalty. He bore the punishment for our sin, for my sin and your sin. You and I deserve hell. I deserve hell. Everyone deserves hell. But the good news of the gospel is we don't have to receive what we deserve because Jesus was our substitute and died and took the punishment that we deserve. So if we'll receive what he's done for us, we can be forgiven and put in right standing with God. And so lest there be even one here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can't earn your way to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. You only receive what is called the gift of eternal life by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I hear of people, I read just this week again, of young people dying. Some famous young woman died. I read the week before last about this beauty queen in Russia whose car hit an elk and she died just like that, only 20-some years of age. You don't know how long you have. Tomorrow could be too late. And so if you're here and you're not absolutely sure that you'd go to heaven if your heart stopped, if you stopped breathing, you can be sure, because it's not by works, it's by faith in the grace of God. And so if that describes you, would you lift your hand so we can all pray together? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you come up front. But we're all going to pray together to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Anybody at all? All right, I don't see any hands, but we're going to pray this prayer for the sake of those that might watch later. Let's pray this. If you believe this, it's based on Romans 10, 9 and 10. Let's pray together. God in heaven, I thank you that Jesus died for my sins. He took the judgment, the punishment that I deserved so I could be forgiven. And so today, I turn from sin and I turn to the Lord Jesus. And I confess Him as my Lord and Savior. And I believe with all my heart that He not only died, but He rose from the dead. And so He conquered over sin and death, so I could be forgiven and so I could have eternal life. And so today I receive Him. I thank you, Lord, for forgiving me, for making me right with God, and with your help, from this day forward, I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give God thanks, shall we? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you would like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.